Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Please consider supporting Black Women United YEG for the protection and advancement of Black women and girls in Alberta. You can learn more about them at bwunited.ca. They are always looking for donations and volunteers. So please, again, support Black Women United YEG for the protection and advancement of Black women and girls in Alberta. Again, that website is bwunited.ca.
Hey, this is Nicole calling from Hamilton, and I needed to let everyone know that I really proudly support Vish and Creative Control. I have for many years, I will for many more, as long as he keeps delivering these amazing interview podcasts. When you hear one of Vish's interviews, you think he's known this guest for years, they're good friends. But the truth is, he approaches every interview, whether it's sort of up-and-coming indie artists or established icons or like famous, intimidating comedians with a really deep, genuine curiosity, so he's never met this person, and the same really warm candor, as so he's known them forever. I think it really lends to a great chat, no matter who he's talking to, and for that reason, I think you should throw Vish, like what, $1 a month? He's got jokes. The jokes make it worth it. Support Creative Control on Patreon.
To make your flexible monthly donation to Creative Control, please visit patreon.com/creativecontrol today. I'm Vish's wife, and remember, when you name a dog Janet or Timothy, you are dragging humanity down just a little bit.
Pete Stahl is a singer and a songwriter who is currently based in the state of California. Originally from Washington, D.C., Stahl, his brother Franz, and their friends, Kent Stacks and Skeeter Enoch Thompson, formed the pioneering hardcore band Scream in 1981, which toured the world and bears the distinction of creating 1983's Still Screaming, the first full-length album ever released by Discord Records. When Stax initially left Scream, he was replaced by a 17-year-old drummer named Dave Grohl in 1986, whose playing at live shows impressed everyone who witnessed it, including Kurt Cobain and Krist Novoselic, who eventually invited him to join their own band, Nirvana, after Scream broke up in 1990. After a few one-off shows, Scream reconvened in 2009 for tours, and released the Complete Control Recording Sessions EP in 2011 before pondering a new full-length together within the past 10 years. The end result is a star-studded, impassioned, but bittersweet affair. It's called DC Special. It's out via Discord on November 10th, 2023. But its September release announcement preceded the death of founding member Kent Stacks, who had cancer, by one day. And so to celebrate Kent, DC Special, and the return of Scream, Pete and I connected for a talk about how the Scream team is doing since Kent's passing, his own life in California and making music during a pandemic, working with Dave Grohl and booking one of the last recording sessions at the original Inner Ear Studio. A brief history of Scream and Wool and other bands, writing and recording DC Special and purposely leaving room for old friends to participate in it, our shared love of Fugazi and the people in that band, how socio-political lyrical themes he conjured in 1981 are strikingly quite similar to the ones he's worked up for DC Special in 2023, whether or not Scream will continue beyond their current tour, other future plans, and much more. A part of the Entertainment One Network, with the support of listeners like you who follow and subscribe to this donor-driven podcast and spread the word about it, and make flexible monthly donations at patreon.com/creativecontrol. That is the primary and best source of revenue I get for making this show every week. It is modest. I wish it was more immodest. I wish it was so gargantuan that I was embarrassed, but it's modest. So if you have the means and the inclination to support this show with a monthly donation or an annual subscription or whatever you want to call it, please visit patreon.com/creativecontrol to support my work today. Thank you so much. With additional support from Blackbird Music, a wonderful record store with two locations in Edmonton and Calgary, Alberta, plus a really great website, blackbird.ca, where you can go and order records potentially shipped right to your house. Say you want a copy of DC Special by Scream. Well, head over to blackbird.ca. Type the stuff you're looking for in there, and if all goes well, they'll ship you a copy of the DC Special by Scream or anything else you want. Again, thanks to the independent record store Blackbird Music for their support of the show. Learn more about them at blackbird.ca. Plus in-kind support from Pizza Trocadero, The Bookshelf, and Planet Bean Coffee, respectively, in Guelph, Ontario, and Granddad's Donuts in Hamilton, Ontario. This is episode 819 of Creative Control, featuring the lovely and talented Pete Stahl from Scream, with your host, me, Vish Khanna. Hey, Pete, how's it going?
I'm good, Vish.
That's great. Where in the world are you?
I'm in Landers, California, which is a bit outside Joshua Tree in the Mojave Desert.
Oh, nice. What brings you there?
I live out here right now and been coming out here for the last 25 years, recording at Rancho de la Luna. And I'm working on a project there right now.
Oh, nice.
That's a studio in Joshua Tree. I'm in a band called Earthlings as well that came out of that studio. The founders of the studio, Fred Drake and Dave Ketchings, I formed the band with them in the mid-90s, and we put out a few records. And Fred passed away about a while back, but Dave and I still playing music together and working on a project right now. That's kind of a reflection, kind of looking back at the 30 years of the studio. So it's going to be called Love to All.
Oh, nice. Well, that's great. You're an East. Coast.
Well, I've had, as everybody else probably went through a lot of changes in the last few years, many different ways, mentally and physically, and me with both of those. So, some of it good, some of it bad. I have been spending a lot more time at home, which has been great, which is Washington, D.C. area, Virginia side of the Potomac River. And my father, who passed away last year, he lived in New York City. So I've been spending a lot of time the last few years. I was taking care of him and supporting his partner and working on the Scream record and kind of going back and forth between the coasts.
Yeah. Well, I want to convey my sorrow and condolences for the loss of your father to you and your family. And in the context of Scream, I also want to convey my condolences to you all on the Scream team for the loss of Kent there. How's everybody doing?
Everyone's good. We had a memorial. Well, we didn't. His family had a memorial for him last Saturday, which is still really fresh. But that was good for us to all get together and you know, think about him and kind of have some resolution to a long couple year process, pretty much where we, I mean, he was, it's weird that this all happened. We weren't expecting it, of course, like nobody does. But he wasn't diagnosed till like a couple, like a month or two after we finished recording DC Special. And then, you know, he went through a year and a half of cancer treatments, and we're just always hoping that he would be able to bounce back and power through and still be with us to enjoy the record coming out, which is, you know, soon, and playing shows. But unfortunately, he just got weaker and weaker. And even though he would still, like when we would play at home in DC area, he could still sit in with us or even join us. We did a show, it was just in a few months ago, toward the end of the summer. We played a show to kind of, in coordination with the release of the Inner Ear book on Don Zantara, and we played a show, free show outside in Mount Pleasant and in Lyman's Plaza. Scott Garrett played drums for us, but he was able to join us and sit in and play the whole set, playing percussion and snare drum and stuff. So that, which was great, but that was unfortunately the last time we were able to play together live. But yeah, it's been kind of strange, and have a lot of mixed feelings about it. It's trying to, you know, you just kind of got to get up and move on, you know, really.
You have mixed feelings about the fact that we're celebrating the first record by Scream in many years. It's clearly a reflective record, lots of old friends appearing on it. You have mixed feelings, obviously, because Kent's not here to celebrate it.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I mean, we want him to be a part of it. I feel a little guilty about that, and also kind of just, you know, just doing all the press around it, pumping up the record, all in the midst of his passing. So in fact, I mean, you know, the day that Discord announced they were putting out the record, I mean, he passed away the next day, and thankfully, I was able to visit with him the day before.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just surreal. So in some way, like I said, it's mixed feelings, because I know Kent would definitely want us to continue playing and promote the record and just play a Scream. He was real working man's musician, you know, as well. He was playing up, you know, up till he couldn't stand anymore. And he was, we had a show, a few weeks ago, where we played at the Martin Luther King Library in Washington, D.C. as part of a series they had been doing, you know, like a punk go-go series, and got to play with Trouble Funk. And he was hoping to play that too, but, you know, it wasn't to be. He also had a gig locally that played every Monday night at this Italian restaurant with his trio. It's called El Dominion Trio, that we'd sometimes go see when we were in town and play standards and stuff, and really nice neighborhood gig. He had other gigs in his pocket. I mean, he's one of the best drummer in town, and so a lot of people would try to get him to play with them. He was in a lot of other bands besides Scream that people should check out,
mm-hmm.
like The Suspects, Spitfire United, Alleged Bricks, and then, you know, even played with Daryl Davis, which is a kind of a local legend, piano player, blues player, played with Chuck Berry. Yeah, so he would play every Monday, even like he was down to just playing brushes on a snare drum. And then he'd play that, then he was doing it, sitting it down. And, you know, he would, until they took him away in the ambulance, he would have been going up there. So I feel like I know that was his mind. He is like a little bulldog that way. Mm-hmm. And that music was his life. And it's our life too. I mean, we've been in a band since high school. Enoch, or Skeeter, and my brother and Kent been known each other since elementary school. Skeeter and him met in second grade. So it's really weird to continue on playing without Kent, because I'm used to him sitting behind me every time I go on stage, you know what I mean?
So. Well, again, I I express my sorrow for what that's worth. I know we don't know each other.
Thank you. No, I really appreciate it, because it's just as it's odd to like interview someone whose band member just passed away. I appreciate the thought, and you know, and thank you for communicating that to me. We have to like support each other in these kind of moments to get through stuff. So appreciate that.
Well, I want to keep it positive because, to my knowledge, like Scream has an interesting trajectory, in terms of its membership. Kent was in the band, as you mm-hmm. say, for a long time, and then he wasn't. In terms of the mm-hmm. sessions for DC Special, my understanding is they marked a real reunion. Was that your first time playing with Kent in some time?
No, actually not. We as you said, we've gone through some band member changes through the years and additions and then other people coming in. You know, Kent first left the band in the late 80s because he decided he wanted to raise a family, and, you know, which was, we completely respected that. And luckily we found another drummer to pick up the sticks, and with Dave Grohl, and then he played with us for a few years. We did a few records, toured around, and then he left to join Nirvana. And then at that point, the band kind of stopped playing for a while. But even before that time, you know, we had Robert Lee Davidson joined us on guitar for a few years. He played on This Side Up on the back. Wait, did he play? He played on the back half of This Side Up. And then strangely, a lot of our records were recorded, because we didn't have enough to scrounge money together, even for this one, which we had to do a Kickstarter. But with This Side Up, and the other things that's kind of funny is, Discord is very practical with how they do projects. So you kind of have to have your stuff together and songs and kind of show that you're ready to make a record. And even with, you know, we were the first album, still Screaming, the first record was the first full-length record that they had ever done.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So they more normally had just done singles.
Yeah.
So when we came, and then, you know, we did the first record, then we were ready to do a second record, and they were like, well, are you ready? And then, I don't know. So it wasn't like other labels where they might put up the money. So we're always been a working band, like Kent Stax. So we would just always go in the studio and we started doing demos after Still Screaming, and we weren't doing them at Inner Ear. So that record, This Side Up, for one half was recorded at one studio, and then the other half was recorded back at Inner Ear. I guess maybe when it became, you know, agreed we were going to do another record for Discord. And then same with Banging the Drum, a little bit different situation. I think that one was always, we knew we were going to, you know, Discord was like, yeah, let's do another record. And then we went over to Europe in 1986 to play shows, and kind of, you know, it was the first time we'd been there, and really there hadn't been any other hardcore bands over there yet. And Discord had just made a deal with Southern Studios, which is a really cool studio run in Wood Green, in like a suburb of London, by John Loder, who, you know, is kind of known for working with Crass and mm-hmm. a lot of other bands. And they were started distribution throughout Europe, and they kind of partnered up with Discord. And through that partnership, John allowed me to come over there and set up a shop at their studio and book a tour, which I did. And through that, we ended up recording half the record there after a tour, or before a tour, in 1986, I guess it was. And then we did the other half back at Discord. So as several of our records were done like that.
Yeah.
And then this most recent record, though, was all recorded at Inner Ear. That was part of the concept, though we did end up having to mix some of DC Special at different locations because, you know, I think you probably heard that Inner Ear got shut down. Not shut down, but it was forced to close by the city of Arlington because this part of the area they wanted, they're going to strangely enough and ironically, they're going to turn it into an arts district. And for some reason, they did not want to use the studio as kind of a center point, which you would think you would do.
Yeah.
Because you could turn it into a place to teach people about recording. And it's culturally, it's significant for the area. There's not that many studios there that, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
Because people don't don't value them. There's that. I'm thinking about that. There's another famous studio that a lot of people don't know about in DC called Bias Studios that has a lot of great music that came out of it. And one of the locations was in Falls Church, where we're from, with Bailey's Crossroad Falls Church, where the band kind of came out of, and where we still rehearse there when we get together in DC. And right across the street used to be Bias Studios, and you know, this band called Grin that came out of the Washington DC area with Neil Zofkin recorded there with Neil Young at one point. So There's been a lot of cool music come out of other studios there. And I just, one thing I want to say about that is the drummer on this one particular session I'm talking about is Bob Berberick, who plays drums on DC Special.
Yeah.
Because he was in Grin, and when we were doing pre-rehearsals for it, we only had a couple of days to rehearse prior before going to the studio, but we had to organize some rehearsals because some of them were collaborations with people we'd never played before with, like Bob and his wife too, Martha Hull, who's a great singer. So when he was there and we were rehearsing with them, he told us about recording across the street with Neil Young at Bias. So it's kind of cool.
Right. So I, back to my question about,
sorry, I'm kind of rambling.
No, it's fine. I just wanted to kind of home in on Kent's role in the band. You mentioned that he left and then Dave Grohl joined. And then after Dave left,
then my brother and I started another band called Wool, and Kent and Enoch Skeeter were still back home in DC. They all were, you know, like I said, Kent's been in a bunch of bands. So is Skeeter. And so then we put out a few records as well. And then we would go home at Christmas time to visit the folks, and we'd still get together and play. And then we did a record in 1996, I think it was, that came out as a live record, and actually that had both drummers, Kent and Dave, were on that record. You know, so we get together occasionally. And, you know, like I was telling you before, after, you know, we'll kind of put out a few records, and then we split up. And then during that time, I had started this band called Earthlings. So I started playing, you know, we toured, put out records. Then I was in a band called Goat Snake for a few years, put out records, toured. And, you know, all the time we get back together, and every now and then, finally around 2010, we got back together to play some shows, you know, start playing around up down the East Coast a little bit. Did a West Coast tour, went down to Texas, played like some around that Fuck Yeah festival. And then we recorded an EP for Side One Dummy called Complete Control, which we did at 606, which was Dave's studio. He let us come in there and record. That was the, you know, original lineup with Kent on drums.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, we've been playing and recording various times, but that was the, and then we, that was the last time we did a record was 2011 or 2010 was when it came out, 2011.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we would get together every so often and do shows. We went over to Europe and played that Rebellion Festival whenever we could, but you know, we're all, my brother raising family, Enoch raising family. We're all like everybody else, just saying, you know, having to make a living, you know, so we didn't get together that much.
Yeah. So beyond the EP that came out about maybe 12 years ago, you played some shows. What actually precipitated, or who, I guess, precipitated the notion that Scream should convene to actually work on new material towards DC Special? Do you know how that conversation got started?
Yeah. Well, my brother had been, you know, very prolific songwriter, and he continued to write and send stuff to me over the years that I would work on. And we were always talking, you know, some song, like, this would be great on the Scream record, and sending stuff to Enoch and Kent. So we're always talking about doing a record. And we actually had tried to schedule some time at Inner Ear, I don't know, like maybe 2015, 2016, but it didn't work out.
Oh, okay.
So, and we were having to, you know, fund it ourselves. And, you know, Ian used to joke with me because I was like, come on, let's do another record. He's like, oh, you guys don't even live in D.C. anymore. I'm like, you know.
That's a major part of being on Discord. But, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So even though Kent and Enoch live there, granted, my brother and I are living in California, but our parents are still there.
Right.
And my mom, at least.
Yeah.
Our mom. She still is, too. And but anyway, so, but it was just kind of fun. We that's our dynamic. But, and it's just kind of always been that way, like I was telling you about with like, let's do this side, let's do the second record, you know? Their mission is more to put out new music, you know?
Yeah. Okay. So somewhere, around six, seven years ago, seeds started to get planted about new Scream music. Is that what you're saying?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. And we even, you know, like we go back on, we play occasionally in DC, which really give us an opportunity to get together and practice because it's difficult because we're all in different cities. And, we wrote some songs at rehearsal. So like one song Dead Cities, it kicks off the second side of our record. We wrote in a rehearsal room, like, you know, I don't know, 2018, 2019. And, so we had a demo of that, of us playing, which we used, to help us complete the song. And Clint Walsh was playing with us at that time on guitar, talking about other people that have come in and out. And, he's also on Complete Control Sessions as well.
Yeah.
So yeah, we, like you said, seeds were planted, and then, you know, the world stopped during the pandemic, which, you know, one way to stay sane was to, and not, I'm work on the touring business. So, as a tour manager, my business shut down completely. So a lot of time to work on music, which was great. So, and I had access to a rehearsal room that I would, you know, spend a lot of my days working on music by myself. And my brother was doing the same in his house. And so that was kind of a creepy time, but we were working on music.
Sorry, creepy time? Oh, you mean because of the pandemic?
Yeah, it was a creepy
time. Sorry.
I'm also thinking about my particular, like my experience, because like I said, I had the keys to the old Goat's Neck rehearsal room, and you know, everything was supposed to be closed, and LA was pretty strict, and it was kind of during lockdown, but I was still, and the rehearsal room was kind of, there was people living in the rehearsal room. It's like a pretty good size rehearsal space, which there's a lot, unfortunately, a lot of them shut down during the pandemic nationally. Yeah. It's harder to find rehearsal places now than it was before the pandemic. But if there's one place that has quite a few, it would be Los Angeles, but not as many as you might think. And so that one, was a place in North Hollywood, and there was some people that were living in that, in there.
Yeah.
And so like I would sneak in there, and you know, of course, whenever you're kind of paranoid about the virus, and then there's people living next door to you in the other room, and you know, just all freaked out, singing with a mask on or what. I mean, just like,
yeah.
I just think about my, so the studio wasn't supposed to be open. So I'd like sneak in there, sneak into the room, rehearse and sneak out, and all the time trying to like avoid people, you know?
Yeah.
So it was a creepy time.
Yeah. It sounds creepy. I know you're the singer you're the singer in Scream. Are you the primary lyricist in the band?
Yes.
Okay. So this creepiness.
I'm a lyric spreader.
You're not a virus spreader, a lyric spreader. That's good. So I am pondering the tone of the lyrics on this great new record. And, you know, it's funny when, DC special, Sha-la-la, kicks in. I couldn't help but think of what I wasn't there. Obviously, I didn't live in DC. But I know a bit of the history of Discord and what was going on. The song is going, I'm thinking of Revolution Summer. I'm thinking of these sorts of things. So on the one hand, does that resonate with you that there's some reflection going on?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Totally. It's totally a celebratory feeling of a place and time and of growing up in the DC area and all those things. So for sure.
Yeah.
And you know, that's kind of like, sets the tone for the record because it's DC. It's where we grew up. So it's that's setting the tone of the record of the joy of growing up there as well. So you got that right.
Okay.
So sha-la-la.
Yeah.
Sha-la-la-la. I mean, we have a lot of influences. So, you know, we love to have fun with our music. And so, you know, I love playing with words. So I don't know how that, I can't remember exactly how the sha-la-la ended up in there. There's another lyric in that song that kind of got taken out because some of the guys in the band didn't like it, where it was like sha-la-la, but then it would be like, watch out for the snake in the grass. But I ended up having to like edit that out because it wasn't full agreement on that.
What
would have been
what prompted you to write a lyric like that?
Because there's always something around the corner you got to watch out for.
it was a little too.
Even though you might be skipping down the street. I think Brian Ferry had a song where he kind of said the same thing about around the corner. What was it?
Well, watch out for the snake in the grass does not suggest a positive mental attitude. Maybe that's what your bandmates were thinking. This is not what we're after. Maybe, I don't know. No, that's fascinating in itself. Yeah,
I think it might have been a combination of the delivery, and like I said, like, you know, I was kind of doing some weird stuff vocally, and yeah. So I just wasn't working. I think it was more about how it was fitting in the song, but so during the pandemic, it was sometime toward the middle of the pandemic was when I was talking to Don Zantara, and he told me the studio was going to shut down.
Yeah,
that there was actually a date.
Yeah,
and so we're like, oh my god! So we got to get in there and do this record before you're gone. Yeah. And so then we made a date and then worked back from there. So that's really was the final kick in the ass to go record the record.
Yeah.
And kind of gather there, and probably coming out of the pandemic because it had a big impact on kind of writing some of the stuff and finalizing it. Some of the songs address living through that.
Yeah.
Address it lyrically, but also when we recorded the record toward the tail end, and we were still observing social distancing, so we actually had to like be careful about when we were recording. Everyone was still wearing masks. Our good friend Joe Picuri, who was our sound guy for many years, traveled with us through Canada too.
Yep,
and he's also Fugazi's sound guy forever.
Yep.
I met him at the old 930 club. You know of him?
I saw Fugazi so many times that I would see Joey, and I knew who he was just because, as you can maybe tell, I was familiar with some of the people around. I didn't realize.
I'm sorry, I didn't realize that.
No, not at all. I'm friendly.
That's cool.
You know, I'm friendly with those folks. I was texting with Guy just this week about something. I can't remember what we were talking. Probably basketball, knowing him and me.
Oh,
and so yeah, I'm friendly
great.
With and Ian and I have talked many, many times. Ian MacKay and Joe and Brennan. Yeah, I'm really. That's my favorite band. It's like Fugazi.
Awesome.
Fugazi, the Beatles, but Fugazi is like the band. I know this might sound lofty, but Fugazi is the Beatles I got to see and got to, you know, actually experience seeing them, whatever it was, seven times or something like that.
Yeah, I would imagine seeing Fugazi for you would be like when we saw the Bad Brains, when we were kind of like beginning when we were just starting out as a band and writing in our basement, and their energy that they exhibited is very, and the power of the band live, you know, changed my life and everyone in my band. And, you know, Fugazi is part of that scene. And I could imagine if that was like, saw that band at that time in my life, it would have had a similar impact to me. Because, I mean, certainly when we saw Teen Idols play, have some questionable thoughts about Ian's bass playing, but we still.
That is some very, very old shade. You're throwing some very old shade right now. That's amazing.
Like I said, it's our dynamic. But yeah, but we were like, those dudes were cool, and they were, we liked that band too. So in there, they were part of like the water we were drinking.
For myself and my friends, it certainly influenced us as aspiring musicians, but I think they also really influenced us as community members. As people living in cities and trying to do things and make things and hopefully treat everyone as well as we could. And I know for whatever reason, people get their backs up when we talk about the kind of ethos around Discord or Fugazi or whatever. But fuck that. I think it's really significant that we pay attention to their actions, not just their amazing music. And that's why they resonate and have resonated with me. And I still kind of walk tall with some of those same, not just emulation, of course, like, you know, I'm all for killing your idols as much as everyone else. but I do think people like that, when if you stick to your convictions and you worry about or think about rather your community members and the people that you're mm-hmm. immersing yourself with, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. So that's how I've lived my life, and I don't mean to be too lofty about it or put a burden on them in terms of their role in my life. But I know mm-hmm. I'm not the only one who has been inspired by folks like you and the Discord community. It really, I know you're maybe aware of this, Pete, but that whole scene, that whole community, I should say, has had a worldwide mm-hmm. influence. So sorry for going on and on. No, I just want to share that.
No, it's okay. But yeah. I mean, that's part of why we wanted to, you know, make this record, was to celebrate that community and how it shaped us.
Yeah.
And then our goal was to create new music to kind of tie the past to now and move forward. And so that's what I feel like pretty good about. We all feel really good about the record and about ready to have some fun with it, because we haven't even played. We've only played that. Well, we did have a cool moment after we recorded the record. We completed it. We had like a little party at this motorcycle shop in Bailey's Crossroad, and we played some of the songs. But that was the only time we played any of the songs of the new record, till just recently when we played at the Martin Luther King Library. We played the DC special, Sha-La-La, and it was a blast.
I want to ask about, so in all my knowledge and memories of, reading about Discord stuff, for some reason, the term DC special is in my mind right now as a familiar phrase, but I also don't know if I'm making that up. What does that connote for you? Where does DC special as a term come from, and what does it connote for you?
Well, it kind of came out of an idea of playing a show and a get together where we were going to kind of celebrate the DC music and the scene. That a friend of mine actually was going to put it together. It was going to happen in Germany. A friend of ours, Tony Schiffer, who had a really cool record store there in the southern Germany called Nostrovia Potsdam. He put on shows for Scream and other DC bands. And we were going to do a show there, but it got canceled because of the pandemic. And that was going to be called DC Special.
Okay.
So that's when I kind of started thinking about it as an idea for a title for a song. Mm. And ultimately it became the title for the record. But you're right. I think that I never have looked into seeing if it could be trademarked or anything like that. But somebody told me that they had heard of it. So. Yeah.
It sounds vaguely familiar. And again, I wasn't there, so I don't know if I'm just conflating some things. We've talked a little bit mm-hmm. already about the reflective nature of some of the lyrics here, but I also pick up on a lot of contemporary resonance. And, I guess I don't want to say topicality necessarily, but I feel like this is a record about now. It's not just a record about celebrating the past. Can you speak to that? Do you have a sense of what inspired? And to be honest, as much as we were joking about that snake in the grass lyric, the lyrics here do seem a little dark, exasperated, frustrated. Can you talk about some of the things that might have influenced your songwriting here in a general sense?
Well, yeah, like all of our records have kind of political moments. You know, I address politics in different songs in different ways. And having that political consciousness has always been a part of my life, and it's kind of part of being growing up in D.C. because you grew up around politics.
Yes, of
so
course.
You're kind of more conscious of it than a lot of bands. And so, but yeah, there's songs that some of the songs were like written in the dark days of the pandemic, and then some are more recent, but, try to address different things. There's a song called The Flam. It's kind of about social media and the effect that it's having on our culture and our society. Every day it seems to be getting crazier.
Or politics is entertainment. Politics is entertainment is probably a more obvious one in this regard.
everything is entertainment now. It's not just politics. Every kind of action that somebody does, everybody's personal action that they do on social media is kind of entertainment for everybody now.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's fascinating time in history, and it's fascinating time in history, but it's our time,
yeah.
And it's what we're living through. So I end up, that's what I write about. And going through, I mean, just going through what we just went with Kent, you know, with the healthcare situation in this country, it's just, you know, his wife had to start a GoFundMe to just, you know, pay for basic needs. It's just ridiculous. It's not, you know, the financial burden that people have to incur when they get sick. It's not right. So, you know, these are things, you know, there's a song called Somebody Love. That's kind of an older song, but it's, you know, Enoch Skeeter Thompson had kind of written some of the lyrics for that song about a friend that had AIDS. And we've all been touched by that, which is the virus of 20 years ago that impacted our society. Yeah. So I think we touch on a lot of different things in the record.
You have songs celebrating Washington and D.C. There is a song called Dead Cities, which I couldn't help but notice has the same acronym as District of Columbia, D.C. I know you're celebrating your city and your community. Is this also somewhat critical of the way things have maybe changed? Not just in America, but maybe where you live, I know you're not there now. Is this critical of what you've seen in DC or where you're living in America generally?
Well, I mean, it's something you see traveling throughout the country. And then here, I mean, I can't, you know, living in Los Angeles with the homelessness situation that we have there, it feels like the city's dead.
People don't.
We're not taking care of the living, you know, so it's like that everywhere. I mean, like I said, I'm out here in the desert and there's people living in the washes here and in tents, you know, and it's extreme weather situation, extreme conditions.
Yeah.
And there's so much damage going on in this country to people's psyche that are left to fend for themselves.
Does it not seem odd to you that some of the things you were singing about and writing about in Scream when you first began, some of the same issues exist now? They're worse probably than they were when you were writing about them.
Like one song we haven't played for a long time that we're going to play on this, you know, we're starting a tour next week with Soulside up the West Coast and then East Coast, and we're going to play I Look When You Walk By, which is a song off This Side Up, wrote in the 80s about the homelessness that I was seeing in D.C., just like, you know, just like becoming aware of it for the first time. And I remember specifically, you know, I used to work for the Washington Post, like a lot of us Discordians did at the time. And I used to drive pick up the papers downtown by the White House. And this is what I'm talking about, the political consciousness, because I used to deliver papers to the Pentagon. I mean, this doesn't get much more political.
Oh, wow. But, wow. Yeah.
But just in the sense, like, I would just go fill up the newsstands out there, you know, and there's a couple cafes inside a news shop inside the Pentagon, one side of the Pentagon. But I used to pick up newspapers in the middle of the night in downtown D.C. and freezing cold, you know, below zero, and people are sleeping outside on these grates that, you know, the heat coming from, and, you know, within sight of the White House. But that's nothing new. I mean, you know, there's a famous Life magazine photograph, I think, of the tenement, like kind of almost project. There was an expose, I think, that they did on poverty in America in the 60s, and there's a famous photo of the Capitol, I think, in the background of these kind of buildings. So, you know, at least at that time, the politics of the day was a bit more progressive, and there was some action that was made to try to address the poverty in the country at the time. But yeah, we've kind of, at some point, there's been kind of, obviously, there's been a shift that we've been going through since the late 70s, probably. that's kind of circling around the world, that's consumer driven and less like, you know, humanity driven. So we're bringing, I never thought it would get, when I wrote, I Look When You Walk By, it's about homelessness, but it's what I saw then.
It's worse.
It's funny you say it. Yeah. It's funny you say that about DC. I remember being surprised when I went back, when we went back to record DC special. I'm like, where are all the homeless people? Because I honestly, it seemed like they kind of cleaned it up there. I don't know where they are, but I was surprised.
They're displaced. They're further displaced.
Exactly. And I actually, thankfully, I just saw him at Kent's funeral, a good old friend of ours that's been struggling with staying on his feet, been living in his car and living in a tent in the woods. But I think that a lot of the homelessness in the DC area are kind of pushed out into the woods.
Yeah. Out of sight.
Yep. Yeah. So in LA, in Los Angeles, and in California in general, because of the climate and also because some of the programs in California, people come here. And it's as far as you can go before you hit the ocean. So it's been overwhelming all the local governments. And then because of the polarization of local governments and politics and stuff, it's hard to get anything done, even though there's a kind of a will and money there.
Well, I want to say that I appreciate your empathy and thoughtfulness as a writer and the spirit of this band. That's always come through to me anyway. I want to focus a little bit, because we've been talking about the celebratory aspects of DC Special. I'm just scanning the kind of special guest list. And sorry, this is really bittersweet because of Kent's passing. It does seem to me that there was a concerted and conscious effort for you and your bandmates to bring your family together. Like, I'm looking at this list of people, and the names that stick out for me are like Amy Pickering, Jerry Buscher, Mark Cisneros, Joe Lally, Dave Grohl, obviously, Ian MacKay, Brian Baker. I mean, for some of us, these are people, and I don't mean to exclude anyone. I know you've mentioned a few of the others. These are people that are in the periphery of the Scream team, key members of the Discord community. Like, this was a purposeful gathering. It seems like to me. Is that fair?
Yeah. I mean, one thing about when after Wool broke up and I started playing with Earthlings, was involved with this Desert Session project. I don't know if you're familiar with that. Kind of Josh Holm has been doing for years. But through my band Earthlings and collaborating with people out of here, instead of just being in a band, I kind of started improvising and collaborating with people I didn't know. And so that was something that I always wanted to do something like that with Scream too down the road. But then just so many different factors come, you know, when we started coming up with the idea of DC Special, and we were in the pandemic. I actually created like little lyric books of the whole record, and we knew that we wanted to have different people on the record with us. So then I sent those lyric books to different people. And some people respond, and most people responded really positively. Yeah, we want to, you know, and I would send them to them because I wanted them to play on it or sing on it or whatever. And so that's kind of when it came time for us to get together and rehearse and do the record, already kind of had laid the foundation to have a collaborative record that way. But then on top of that, because, like I said, it kind of turned into not a party, but a get together. And you know, because Don's was closing.
Yeah.
And so, man, everybody started coming by. I mean, even a lot of people, but even just for the, like, I remember Jay Robbins showing up who lives in Baltimore, just to grab tapes out of the room because the place was closing.
Yeah.
And everything had to go.
Yeah.
So, like I was telling you about Joey P, he set up a little mobile studio outside, and we put monitors out there, and we set up a barbecue and chairs. And so that was kind of like a mobile studio. People would come hang out, and we'd have barbecues, and people just showing up and visiting and saying, hey, and then it was really cool. And a lot of people ended up in front of the mic. and which ended up on the record.
Yeah.
And so it was a real good get together, and it kind of, you know, influenced the joy and the collaborativeness of the record, and because it all helped us remind us where we all came from and what we are.
I mean, when I say it's bittersweet, it's because I'm on the outside anyway, as someone external to all of this, I'm happy that Kent was able to take part in this amazing gathering, because it seems like it was both, sorry, from the outside, it seems like it was like a reconvening, but now it also seems like a nice, and just keep in mind, I'm not suggesting the band is winding down or anything, but the way you've put this record together, and with Kent's passing, there's some nice closure, like to have all these people back in your orbit. Mm-hmm. So I say this haltingly because I don't want to infer anything there, Pete, but with Kent's passing, I know you say you have tour dates. What does the future of Scream seem like to you right now as you're in this position where you have to celebrate this album under really hard circumstances, and you're going to play some shows to support it. But mm-hmm. do you see it continuing now beyond all this activity?
Well, I mean, I think we're trying to still be a working band on, you know, as much as we can. We all have other interests and other things we do in life, but this is something it's like home for us. And by staying together and keeping together, it keeps us close together and still keeps us close with Kent, because we're playing his song mm-hmm. for his music. And then now we're having to teach Jerry Buscher Kent's parts. And so, which luckily he watched Kent play for many, many times. Yeah. So it makes it a little bit easier. But I have, you know, it's hard to know. We have limitations on what we can do as far as what our availability and financially, but we'll play as much as we possibly can.
Okay, good.
You know, with a new record, it gives us an opportunity to kind of play different kinds of shows, because we expanded our repertoire, and you know, we still got something to say, so we want to get back out there and play. And so you kind of want to finish the project, and so after you kind of, you know, start something and cook it up and then record it and then go through like a big process of getting it finalized and everything. And now it's done. It's coming out on November 10th. And now we want to go play behind it and do it justice, you know, and do it for Kent too.
Yeah.
But yeah, the collaborative part was definitely one really important aspect of it too. But also there's other layers of the record that kind of show that, you know, how much of a DC centric community record it is by, you know, the studio in your ear, and then the musicians. There's musicians from all the way back to back from the 60s on the record, for DC musicians from back in the day. And then the vinyl is actually pressed in Alexandria at Furnace, and the artwork, which kind of came up with Micah, which is has a Globe Collection, which was a Baltimore-based art company that made the posters that you very famous R&B posters, and it actually is kind of invented for circus and carnival posters. They ended up doing a lot, and so, you know, basically, the project and the process of doing all that stuff, all those pieces, is part of the experience at DC Special too.
Yeah, it has a regional, local focus, and yeah, for what it's worth, again, we don't know each other, Pete, but for what it's worth, I'm really happy for you. I'm happy for all of you. I know it's a tough time.
Thank you.
But I'm really happy that this came together in this way. It does have a really festive feeling about it, in spite of the fact, like I said, some of the lyrics are, well, I like the intensity of the lyrics. I like that people are speaking out. I like when people speak out. It feels like you're not alone in your anguish and your frustration. So I just want to thank you for conveying what you've conveyed in Scream and on this record, and for making time. We've kind of hinted at what's next. There's tour dates coming up. Did you want to talk about anything else that you've got? And you've mentioned a few other projects. Yeah, in a catch-all way, what's next for you, Pete?
Oh, for me, well, I'm going to head over to the studio and work on music today. So luckily, I'm in between tours, I work as a tour manager, and kind of worked for a long time for a great band, and kind of just because DC Special is coming out and I want to be available to talk with people like you and to focus on the record, because it's a really important project for us, and be available to play shows and also be involved with other musical projects. I took time off from working, and I'm going to focus on music as much as I can right now. And luckily I have access to it out here at the Rancho de la Luna. So I'll go over there and work today on writing, which has really helped me get through the pandemic as well.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed that process of kind of having the time and working on a song and crafting it and getting it done. And, you know, I'm envious of those stories of, I have friends of mine that work in Nashville that go from studio to studio, you know, and they still get paid for it down there. But yeah, they're working musicians, and it's kind of like, it's what Kent did. Like I said, he was like furniture during the week. And then, but he had gigs every night and, you know, kind of trying to keep my chops up and stay in the game.
Well, no, that's great to hear. It's heartening to hear too. So good luck with that. If people want to learn more about Scream, I know Discord's website is a good place to learn more about the record and potentially buy it, if not at local record stores. Is there anywhere else sort of online that you'd like to direct people to learn more about you or the band?
Yeah, I mean, we don't have a website, but, you know, we have our own Instagram, and that's really, and Facebook. Those are the, you know, but Discord is the place to go to buy our record. You can pre-order it now, and it'll be out on November 10th, but feel free to hit us up on Instagram and message us. We'll get back to you for sure.
Nice.
And you can find me on the internet, on the Instagram. I'm my own thing, so can always say hi.
That's lovely. That's great. Now, if we want to go out, I'd like to go out on a song, rather, from DC Special, so people can get a real sense of what we've been talking about. And
which one are you going to play?
Well, here's where you come in, Pete. I was going to ask you if you could pick one for us and tell us why it came to mind.
Bored to Life, second song on the record, is a song that I wrote with Daryl Jennifer from the Bad Brains. And he was one of the guys I sent a book to, but he wasn't able to make it down to be on the record. But gave his blessing for us to record it. And it's, if you listen to that song, you'll hear the Bad Brains in it. And that's why, because he wrote it and I wrote the lyrics. But the song's also, you know, about coming back to life. So, and it's kind of got some funny tongue in cheek lyrics.
Woke up from the dying, just another day of digging our graves. I know there's another life left to live. Got to find my lover. I'm bored to life. Yeah, it's really, really great. Yeah.
Yeah, it's got a good chorus. I can't wait to play that song. We have never even played that song live yet. Yeah. So I can't wait to play that song for people and people to sing along. And hopefully they'll be singing back at us that same feeling that I'm feeling. So that's what it's about. And, I'd like to leave on that good note and you know, move forward with my day.
All right. Well, that's
yours too.
Thank you. I appreciate that. All right. This is Bored to Life from the excellent new album DC Special by Scream. Pete, this was an honor and a pleasure. I hope you enjoyed yourself. Thank you for making time for me. And I hope we do speak again someday. Best of luck with everything going forward.
Thanks, Nish. All right, man. Have a good day.
I've been sleeping for years. Throw some dirt on my bones, and I rolled over. Woke up from the dying. Just another day of digging our graves. I know there's another life left to live. We got to find my lover. I'm about life. 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 Whoa. Something's got to give for my sisters and brothers. Body parts come together. We will live forever.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
There you have it, brand new music by Scream in there. Thanks to Pete Stahl from the band for being on this show and having a lovely conversation about the return of Scream under trying circumstances. This was all for the 819th episode of Creative Control, which is part of the Entertainment One podcast network. It should be available almost everywhere you get your podcasts. If you can't find an episode that you're looking for, or if you want to learn more about me and sign up for my monthly newsletter, which I'm several months behind on, I must admit, it's been a busy time. In any case, if you want to learn more about how to sign up for that newsletter, I'll get it going again, I'm sure of it, please visit vishkana.com. You can also like Creative Control and follow it on various social media things that may or may not exist by the time you hear this. We do have a page on Facebook that you can like or follow. You can follow the show on Twitter at vishcreative. Or you can follow me directly on Instagram and Twitter at Vishkana. I'm also on Blue Sky and TikTok, and there's a YouTube channel for the show if you want to listen to the show or engage with the show that way. Every once in a blue moon, there's some video content up there as well. I'm just one guy, you know. I can't do everything. I get tired. I got a day job. I got a family. It's too much. I wish I had more time. Actually, this leads nicely into my next thing. Please visit patreon.com/creativecontrol to make a flexible monthly donation to keep this podcast not only running, but potentially free me up to just work on the podcast instead of being this manic juggler of different things. $6 American or more a month grants you access to some exclusive content, and you get episodes earlier than everybody else does. And if you're interested in receiving a Creative Control t-shirt in exchange for your generosity, I will also up the generosity ante and send you a t-shirt if you want one. There's a maroon design and a yellow design. Just message me on Patreon and I'll get you one while supplies last. Thanks again for supporting the show in that regard. Speaking of supporting the show, I want to thank Blackbird Music, a wonderful independent record store with locations in Edmonton and Calgary, Alberta. You can order things from them on their website at blackbird.ca, even if you're not in Calgary or Edmonton, Alberta. So please visit their site and order records from independent record stores wherever possible. Thank you so much. I also want to thank some independent businesses: Pizza Trocadero, The Bookshelf, and Planet Bean Coffee in Guelph, Ontario, and Granddad's Donuts in Hamilton, Ontario, for their in-kind support for this show. I want to thank Jim Guthrie for letting me use some music he makes on the show. You can learn more about Jim at jimguthrie.org. And finally, thank you so much for listening to this episode with Pete Stahl from Scream. Check out DC Special. Please subscribe to this podcast or follow it and tell your friends all about it and spread the word. It helps immensely. I will talk to you so soon, it's not even fun. Be well. Bye for now.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.